time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us. It is Monday, March 25th, 2019. We say that for all you that are listening on a downloaded basis. We love it when you dial in and listen to us live. We've got a good number of live listeners, but we know a good number of you can't make it at this moment. So it's our pleasure to bring this to you. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we are grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment, again, is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I'm leaving right after we hang up on this podcast today. I'll be heading up to the tech conference, going to be up there in Dallas. Very interesting stuff going on in the world of technology, artificial intelligence, which just happens to be our hot topic today. Again, we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence. We got it introduced last week in the first of the two hot topic segments. Got a lot of good feedback on that. We're going to be getting into what artificial intelligence can do and some of the latest developments. Very excited to have with us Roman Venfield, who is CEO of AI Assist, a company that is also powered by Conversica. We're going to get his insights on how you can use AI in the mortgage industry. Artificial intelligence, folks, is coming in a way that's far bigger than I ever dreamt. Last week, I was up in Nashville attending the Independent Community Bankers Association, ICBA, spoke at that with Finastra. And I tell you, the amount of artificial intelligence that's showing up anywhere. Have you seen Henderson Robotics, or I think it's Henderson Computer or Henderson Robotics, Sophia, that live-looking computer that sits there? Well, they had one set up. The expressions, the facial expressions, the intelligence, what came out of this silicone computer, I don't know what to say about it. It is amazing. There's a lot going on. That stuff kind of, some of that wears me out, but we've got to stay on top of it. There are ways to use it and use it effectively in our industry to cut costs, and I can't wait to get to the hot topic segment this week. But first, we're going to get started off with saying a big thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Love our affiliation with them, and I love what they do for our industry. So much going on, and I encourage you to check out the MBA website for the conferences. Also be, again, I said I will be at the tech conference this week. I'll also be at the secondary conference in New York. Again, they have a lot more conferences going on, all of which you should be a part of, at least be aware of. Go to the website, check out the conferences. Black Knight, a leading provider of integrated data and analytics solutions, as well as Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage in the home of some of the top LOs in the country. Finastra is back as our sponsor. We're pleased to have them. Finastra's Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues, as well as delivering an enhanced borrower satisfaction and increasing productivity. And it'll also help you create greater market share. I was in there with them, the ICBA conference, speaking with Finastra. I had spoke to so many of their customers up there. I mean, I'm serious. I'm listening to those testimonies that are coming from this group. It's so positive. You need to be checking it out. If you're looking for an affordable solution that gives you all that a mortgage lender could need, including some of the artificial intelligence, some of the things that are going on, check it out. Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative is for both lenders. Get so much out of both the organizations. Velma, the efficient mortgage marketing and email platform that you got to be using to stay in touch with people. Man, so important because someone's reaching out to them. Are you? Use it. Velma. I encourage you to check it out. Velma.com. Also, KnowledgeCoup, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. And Vidyard is an online video platform for business which allows you to increase leads, accelerate your pipeline, and delight your customers. Just connect and communicate with them. I'm using video. You can embed it in your emails, embed it in so many different areas. I am using it now more and more. I've been a user of it for probably over a year, but man, they've enriched it or I'm waking up to all this there. So then finally, I want to say a special thank you to Andy, Alice, Alan, Joe for their contributions to the podcast. Let's take a brief moment, run over to Rob Van Raphorst and hear what he has for the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week, MBA submitted comments to FHFA on its proposed rule to create a process for validating and approving credit score models used by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Broadly, the proposed rule develops a process by which the GSEs would be required to solicit applications for new credit score models and review these models across a number of dimensions. Also last week, in a unanimous decision, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a law firm hired to carry out a non-judicial foreclosure proceeding under Colorado law is not a debt collector for purposes of the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And finally, MBA's National Advocacy Conference 2019 will take place April 2nd and 3rd at the Capitol Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. The NAC is an annual tradition that enables MBA members to speak directly to their elected officials as advocates for our industry. One of the main speakers at this year's conference will be HUD Secretary Dr. Ben Carson. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining me.
I want to talk about the digital business card. It's something that I've been using at all these conferences. I keep telling you about it. But when you walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you have a card or you want to share your card, normally hand it out, you just hand out a QR code or you show them your QR code on your phone. They scan it. They got all your information. It's more than just a wow factor. It allows you to stay in touch with them after the fact and encourage you to check out the business card, the digital business card. It's listed on the top of our website on the Lick It On Lending podcast website on the upper right-hand corner. Let's hear from Les Parker with the TM Spotlight and this week's macro view of the markets.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by LoanLogic's Bulls Wait a Million Years. Wind a million miles, tread a million ticks. When does persistent waiting end? Watching the winding charts and treading ticks test a hedger's patience. But secondary marketing managers must hedge continuously. It's hard to see any news beyond a U.S.-China trade deal or the curtain dropping on the Brexit drama moving interest rates. But the technical picture suggests rates drop 25 basis points by the end of March. Will bonds climb the highest hill just to get to low rates? Are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
Oh yeah, I remember those old songs. Love that. Good job, Les. If you could check out Les's tmspotlight.com, you'll see all of the email updates that he does. You can get signed up for a free newsletter. It says compliments of LoanLogic. You can receive this into your inbox, and we get a lot of positive feedback on that. I've been reading Les's update for over 30 years. Challenges you to dig deeper, learn more about the industry, and it's very informative. So check it out. Let's go out to Joe Farr. Joe, what you got for us today, friend? It's a market update.
Hey there. Well, I was going to say Les is pretty well on the way to that quarter point improvement by the end of the month, because I know he does those on, I think on Thursdays, right? So he picked up about a good bit of that 25 basis points on Friday and some more of it today. So he may be right about that. So today we're a little better. MBS prices are up a few 30 seconds. That's good. Stocks are down just a little bit, not much. The findings from the Mueller report that came out over the weekend hadn't had an effect on the market. So really a pretty quiet day, especially compared to last week's movement. And last week, the movement was great for mortgage rates. Rates fell to the lowest level they've been since early 2018. The Fed was the big driver last week. The statement following the Fed meeting on Wednesday and then the press conference that was held that afternoon showed a very dovish Fed. The Fed cited slowing global growth, U.S. growth and global growth, and mild inflation. You know, I mentioned last week the dot plot would be what people would be looking at this week. And in fact, the dot plot did show a pretty significant change in that there are no longer dots indicating a rate increase in 2019 and only one in 2018 and none again in 2021. So it's a pretty big reduction in the amount of future rate hikes that the Fed sees themselves making. And so the market really liked that. In addition, Dave, the Fed indicated that they're going to slow and then stop their balance sheet reductions. As we've talked about in the past, the Fed has been allowing their portfolio to prepay and not replace it to a certain extent. And from now on, they are going, well, not from now on, but starting soon, and then by September, they're going to be fully replacing their portfolio runoff, so their balance sheet will stop shrinking. One thing to note, don't know how much of an effect it'll have on the mortgage rates, but they're going to replace mortgage-backed security runoff with Treasury purchases. So they won't be directly in the Treasury market or in the MBS market, but since they are in the Treasury market and they have many of the same participants, the added demand for Treasury should spill over into an improvement or a benefit to the MBS prices. Stocks fell really hard on Friday, you probably saw. That, too, helped MBS prices, helped mortgage rates decline further. And that fell on indications of slowing global growth, as the Fed had pointed out a few days earlier. There was very little economic news in the U.S. last week. What was there was quite good. Existing home sales jumped 11.8% in February from January, and that the single-family number jumped 13.3%, and that's what we focus on more in the mortgage industry. So it's very good news for the mortgage industry. Last week, Brexit's been in the news. You'll recall the week before last, there were those three votes. One rejected Prime Minister May's Brexit plan. The next one rejected an exit without a plan. And the third one asked the EU to grant a three-month extension to Brexit. Last week, the EU said, well, we'll grant you an extension, but it's not going to be 3 months. It's going to be until May 22nd. And it is conditioned upon Theresa May getting an exit plan in place this week, which seems highly unlikely the way the things are going to pass.
Yeah.
If she doesn't get a plan in place, then the extension is only until April 12th, by which time the Great Britain's got to have figured out what they plan to do. So a lot ahead this week. This week's very critical. The third vote on the Theresa May plan is needed, but it's not yet scheduled. And another defeat puts her job in jeopardy, which adds more uncertainty to the situation. So just count on concern and uncertainty growing, continuing to grow, until this Brexit thing gets resolved some way. This week has several days with significant economic data. Dave, tomorrow housing starts comes out along with consumer confidence. And then on Thursday, the third look at fourth quarter GDP is expected to come out. It's expected to show a fairly significant reduction in the fourth quarter growth. It was last estimate, I think, was 2.6% in the fourth quarter, and that's expected to drop to 2.2%. So we'll see if that comes to bear. It is older data, so might not have a big effect on mortgage rates. Also on Thursday, the pending home sales number will be released. That's for January, so it, too, is a little older data. And then on Friday, core PCE will be released. It's delayed data still from the government shutdown. It's January data. Interesting part of that release, the personal income component of that, is February data. So also on Friday, we're going to get February data on new home sales and March data on consumer sentiment. So a lot to look at. Brexit should be the big event this week, and we'll just see if it creates more uncertainty. If it does, that'd be good for should be good for mortgage rates.
You look at what's going on in the UK with the Brexit thing. Someone just texted me and says, "Ask Joe, how much of an issue could this have on interest rates?" That uncertainty doesn't have. It's just the uncertainty of what it could have in the market
sure.
that just creates that. So it's not doesn't have any direct effect.
I assume that you wind up with a hard Brexit, and that can create some disruption in global trade. That can certainly build into and affect U.S. markets, especially as global investors are looking for a safe haven. What's the safest thing they can buy? U.S. treasuries and mortgage-backed securities.
It's a good report. Thanks, Joe. I'm also looking forward to seeing what the pending home sales as we start getting more into the spring months. We'll see what those pending home sales look like. Appreciate you being here. It's such beautiful weather. I got a feeling weather like this made in Central Texas is made for golf, or golf was made for weather like this. I don't know, whatever, but or head out to the lake and enjoy it. But whatever you're going to do today, enjoy this beautiful weather we're enjoying here in Central Texas. I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Have a great week. Think of you as I'm up in Dallas at the tech conference. All right, folks, we're going to head over to Scott Gordon with Open Mortgage talking about the science of sales.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science.
Last time, I gave you the three essential elements your story needs. Those elements should always lead to a worthy lesson, so your story has a truth or purpose. Remember, if there's no purpose, there's no story. Today, let's examine the first essential element your story needs, a relatable hero. Sounds cliche, but a relatable hero is necessary. It's hardwired into our DNA to respond to a story's hero. And what's important here is he must be relatable. One of the worst things you can do is create a hero that is unrelatable. Think Superman. Superman's popularity has struggled in the eyes of the public. Why? Because he's too perfect. His physical powers are godlike. But that's not what makes him unrelatable. It's his moral perfection. Think about it. Who wants to hang out with that guy? Nobody. We all want to be him, but we know we can't, so he's unrelatable. Give me Batman. That guy has some issues, but don't we all? That's the difference, and it shows. In recent decades, Superman has become more human, and his popularity has risen. The hero in your story can be you, or your company, or a customer. One of the most effective strategies is to combine these heroes. For example, tell a story to a borrower where the relatable hero is a borrower that is forced with a difficult situation that he or she must overcome, and it is only by your assistance that the borrower achieves his or her ultimate goal of home ownership. This dynamic will make your customers feel that, with your assistance, they can be the hero in their own story. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. Superman being too perfect. I didn't care. I like the guy no matter what. That's so funny. Alice Alvey, good to have you with us. What do you have with this week's legislative update?
I think, you know, today I want to just zero in on an update that I gave last week about the proposed rule from FIFA regarding the development of a new credit score model. Right? So for a quick refresher, as part of the Economic Relief Act, it was dictated by Congress that scoring model be at least available to be considered by the agencies and that they develop a process for looking at additional score models instead of FICO having a lock on the market. And last week, there were about a dozen or fewer comments. And of course, the deadline came on the 21st, and everybody piles in with all their comments at the last minute. There are 57 of them dated for March 21st, which was the deadline last week. So when you look at all the big names that commented, including the Mortgage Bankers Association, all of the industry and associations, as well as the CRA associations, then you have all the other side of the nonprofits that support consumer directive initiatives. The one that is the most interesting to me is the debate on whether the Vantage score should be able to be on the table. And for the most part, it's interesting how even the consumer groups, I don't think the way they respond implies that they don't really understand the implication of that. You know, they just make, you know, hey, we would like some competition, but we're not sure that data from the CRAs is the best source. Well, that's what FICO is. I mean, no matter what we do with scores, we're going to have to work with, you know, those core models. We can only work with that data. And then their comments will trail off into something else, you know, about using rental income. I certainly haven't read all of them yet. That's still on my to-do list to see if there's anything else that jumps out at me. But this seemed to be one of the most compelling areas where everybody, you know, for the most part, what I read is going, it's crazy to just specifically try and exclude the Vantage Score model, which is what that sentence said. Prohibit a credit score model developed by a company that is related to a consumer data provider through common ownership. Why didn't they just say Vantage Score? Because it's the only one. So
it's the only way. Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, it's really, barring that the consumer groups would like that the credit scores expand into rental income and some other alternative credit options, the fact of trying to get out of the box we're in that might open up the door for new consumers and be able to create some competitive environment was definitely the theme of all of the letters. So we'll look forward to talking more about that perhaps on a show as it evolves, but that was one important point. One other item, heads up, all of you, we mentioned it last week, but this week you should start seeing your FHA loans really have that bright line for a combination of a 620 credit score and probably a 43 DTI that might automatically kick you into a refer. For those of you with long memories, back before 2013, those were manual downgrades. Then in August of 2016, this was pulled out of total scorecard. So essentially, March 18th, last week, this was put back in, but FHA wasn't exactly very descriptive that those were the boundaries. We're just going to still watch it and report back as we hear more from the lenders out on the street. So that's my update on two items, Dave, and I'll kick it
back to
you.
Good update. A lot in that update. If you want to go listen to all of Alice's updates, there's so much content there. Go to our website, Lincoln on Lending. Alice has her own page, and you can listen to each one of her segments and just go through it. I have gone through those, Alice, numerous times. Appreciate you doing the homework that you do to bring us content that's just distilled down to some really good stuff. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
For those of you who don't know Alice, she's CMB, Master CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage, and we're glad to have her with us each week. Alan Pollock is dialed in. We're going to be talking about technology, Alan, today in the Hot Topic segment, your favorite topic. So good to have you here with us, friend. What you got?
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited. By the way, I wanted to start with this. Since today's topic is conversational AI, David, you and I are both cognitive, right? We're contextual. Mm-hmm. I have emotional intelligence when I talk with you. I learn how to adjust based on what you say when I talk to you. So really, you and I are powered by AI. We get to fit in with all the new buzzwords.
I know. It is pretty interesting how the two worlds are definitely just coming together. I'm so fascinated by this topic and what some are doing with it. Yeah, really interesting.
And by the way, that you know, we talked a few times about everybody saying they're powered by AI. I was actually watching an episode of Shark Tank, and somebody went out there and they tried to sell a platform which was based on buying used clothes, and they were basically finding the demand and the price of those clothes, and most of the sharks said they weren't interested. And what they said is they don't like when people come in and just throw these AI terms around. What they actually said about that company that was trying to they wanted $250,000 for 2% of their company. What they said was, don't oversimplify. I'm sorry, don't try and do something so complex using all these buzzwords that's super simple. People just want to buy used clothes. They don't need artificial intelligence around it. So it's pretty interesting. If you haven't checked it out, you want to see it. Big week, NBA Tech, and a couple big announcements. One of them, Open Close. They just announced their new digital mortgage ecosystem with their new point of sale offering. They're calling it Consumer Assist Digital POS. They scheduled a May release for this, and they're saying their much anticipated digital mortgage point of sale solution. It's a unique offering. It combines a 100% browser-based end-to-end LOS and PPE and point of sale together. And now you can automate and originate numerous tasks. And those are keywords in our industry. We don't have to say why, but that was interesting that they put that in there. And they're saying, of course, you know, we're helping to push borrowers closer to the process and earlier as well for that closing. They actually had a quote, which was pretty interesting. I want to read this. They said, we feel that lenders leveraging the efficiencies of a single consolidated platform will be able to mostly effectively sustain and increase profitability. So what I liked about that was single consolidated platform. That's an important thing as we look to, you know, sort of bring all these different technology solutions together. There's a whole list of features that they put into this press release, as well as they're adding their product and pricing engine, AUS capabilities, and fee calculations. Go over to their website, Open Close, check it out. There's been a lot of really good buzz going on there. David, next mortgage event, I know you were there. They had a best in show vote. Well, they did complete their vote, Reverse Vision 1. And Reverse Vision has what's called the RVSA. It's the RV Sales Accelerator, and it's a calculator that helps compare how much an HECM, a home equity conversion mortgage, can perform against other traditional mortgage products. Of course, it's designed to help senior borrowers, and it enables a lender to quickly and easily evaluate the loan products that best suits those borrowers' needs. Kind of interesting if you want to take a look at that. Also, on the train of all the folks integrating and partnering with Ellie Mae, we've announced them in the last couple podcasts. Cloud Verga just made an announcement that they now are also partnered with Ellie Mae. It is a bi-directional solution. And of course, it does support disclosure tracking and itemization of fees. So if you're a CloudVerga user in Ellie Mae, you want to check that out. This is kind of interesting. Capsilon, David. Capsilon launches the beta of their cloud-based digital underwriter, and they're saying it's a comprehensive suite of integrated digital mortgage applications, and they have done some initial work. They call it – well, I can't see the name here, but they had a name for it. But anyways, what they're saying is that mortgage underwriting velocity has declined more than 85% over the last couple decades. And so they're putting this together to really help support and create efficiencies in those areas. NotaryCam and DocMagic. So we haven't heard a lot about remote notarizations lately. They just did an integration. And so now they're going to be offering their remote online notarization and e-closing capabilities together. Mid-America Mortgage just signed for that. And I don't know if you know this, but NotaryCam has conducted more than 160,000 online transactions for individuals located, they say, 50 states and 90 countries. So I don't know if you knew that, but it was interesting.
No, I didn't. I know it's coming on. It seems to be coming on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to get to something about AI, but before we do, in support of today, this is kind of interesting. ROI. You know, we always talk about implementing these digital efficiencies and these technologies and supporting the customer experience, but we don't talk about the ROI. Ellie Mae put out a survey. They put this together on their own. It was more than 2,500 lending organizations that were involved in this, banks, credit unions, and IMBs, and they had some key findings. I'm only going to read one or two of them. You want to check this out, you can just quickly Google it, or we can put it in the show links. What they found, though, is for the ROI of implementing these different technologies, the average cost of origination of a loan was $813 lower than the industry average. They also said that the total potential positive financial impact for customers that adopt Encompass plus the additional solutions that they offer was $1,182 per loan.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other great stats in there. They talk about ROI. It's really subjective, right? I don't want to just state those facts and say everyone's going to have that. It depends on the technology, how you adopt it, and all those great things. Conversational AI, right? Today's great topic. You and I have been talking a lot about this. I am working on myself some projects in this area. Two quick things I want to mention, really interesting. SPF Private has actually put a chatbot to market. They call it Ava, and Ava can answer over 200 common questions. And she was basically put out there to handle the increase in inquiries for first-time home buyers. Ava can, you know, you can ask Ava a question, she'll respond. It frees up a lot of the time that SPF advisors spend with clients. It's powered by IBM Watson. So you've seen a lot of the TV commercials and you've probably heard a lot about IBM. It includes cognitive learning, NLP processing, but basically it's this virtual assistant. It's on the IBM cloud and you can get a mortgage recommendation in just 3 minutes, a decision in principle in 15 minutes, or immediately connected to an advisor. So you want to Google and check that out. And then if you happen to be in San Francisco, April 2nd, it is called SuperBot 2019. It is the Conversational AI Conference. Don't want to miss it. We can also provide a link for that. I got a bunch of links we'll set up for everybody. And there's an article. It's called Financial Services Chatbots, Four Challenges of Online Financial Services and How Chatbots Can Help. I won't read you everything, but I will give you the two quick highlights that are most important. Number one, you know, the challenges of online financial services, including mortgages, and why these chatbots can help is because millennials are primarily mobile-oriented consumers, and their preference for accessing the internet through their smartphone, right, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, all these things, they want that instant gratification. They want it extended to the way they do things today, shopping, travel, everything's based on that. So one is being able to connect with them mobile, a chatbot, a conversational interface is very important. And then the last one I'll leave you with today is optimizing that customer experience, right? Being competitive, offering information that's very hard to find, and then also optimizing where you don't have issues because you can guarantee you have a systematic process in place. Sounds super simple. They're very complex to put in place, but you can do it. Many are, as you heard with SPF. But I'll be excited to hear about today's hot topic. So with that, David, enjoy MBA Tech. Can't wait to hear what's going on. Don't forget about our $5 bet. We can follow up on that next week.
We'll follow up on that next week. Thank you. Appreciate that, man. We're going to be right back with a brief word from our sponsor, Knowledge Coop. And here's Nathan Nottingham. Nathan?
Hey, Nathan here from the Knowledge Coop. Do you need to teach a course? Have you considered maybe using the Socratic method? See, it's a process of using questions that engage learners to question their assumptions in order to eliminate contradictions. The primary goal is not to have listeners try to answer unanswerable questions, but to get them to develop critical thinking and to keep them engaged in your topic. Have you got some training to do? Check out the Knowledge Cube for fun and easy video-based training for the mortgage professionals out there. And it's all powered by a smart digital platform.
Good stuff. I appreciate those guys. They do a great job. We use their platform. Encourage you to check it out, knowledgecoop.com. Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor, is here with us.
Good afternoon here in Texas.
Yes, beautiful day.
So you were talking about all this artificial intelligence, and Alan had a lot of really interesting reference points. I'm interested to hear more about the ROI. It's always an interesting debate about technology ROI, because when you think of ROI,
that's true. Yeah.
I give the bank $100, and at the end of the year, they give me I have $103 in my account because they gave me a 3% return on my investment. That's an ROI. Technology is way fuzzy because you give a LOS provider $30,000 to install their system, and then you then make a return incrementally on that investment, but you do it through enhanced workflow, better customer service, which is fuzzy to validate, but nevertheless, it does exist and it is there. It's just a little bit more complicated to show why. So it's very, very interesting. And we actually talk about that in our webinar series, which is ongoing.
Okay.
So we started the Profit Doctor webinar series last week. Last week was on basic accounting. This week is on loan accounting. So when we talk about loan accounting, some of the things that our listeners should know is when at every month end, or for that matter, almost throughout the month, you should know the P&L for every loan. So not the P&L for the company. I'm talking about the P&L for every single loan. Exactly right. So you have a profit per loan. And if you have a profit per loan, you can then get a profit per branch. And if you have profit per loan, you can do profit per product. You can also, by capturing loan-level detail, you can understand margin preservation by office. Did your secondary marketing gain that you expected to get when you set your pricing and then you locked the loan, did that actually convert to cash? Did you actually get the money you thought you were going to get? And like on warehouse interest expense, we all pay warehouse interest expense. We earn interest on the mortgage that we own until we sell it, but how much interest did we pay to each warehouse line lender? Do you actually know that? So in our webinar, we're going to talk about how to know how much warehouse interest expense you paid to each warehouse line lender and what your actual interest margin really was based on the note rate of the mortgages and the interest cost to the warehouse line lender, including warehouse fees. So these are all important elements that pretty much every independent mortgage bank got to have. This really isn't any more just nice to have. This is the light switch. You flick the light switch and the light turns on. You know, you expect for there to be electricity. You expect there to be internet. When you turn on your computer, you can get on to your LinkedIn account. But you also, in mortgage lending, have to have this stuff every single month out of your accounting system. And if you're not, then attend the webinar and we'll show you how, because it's possible, even using QuickBooks, to get everything I'm talking about here. As a matter of fact, when we do the books for mortgage companies, we use QuickBooks, which we've customized, and get them this stuff. So you got to have it. The other point real quick, and then I'll I'm waiting for the AI discussion. So the next week is on hedging. So this is kind of back into Joe and my world a little bit more, and it gets a little bit more complicated. Well, actually, it gets a whole lot more complicated. But you got to know it. You know what? You're running an independent mortgage company. You got to know this stuff. This isn't optional knowledge. You know, it's like some of the AI stuff is really, really interesting, but do I have to know that today? Well, probably you do, actually, because you need to know how to make your business run better. Hedging is the same thing. You've got to know this. If you're running a mortgage company, you've got to understand your hedging activity. You've got to be able to read those reports, know what they mean. You've got to know how are loans that are locked that are best efforts being hedged, how are loans that are locked that are in a TBA short position. What happens if you have loans that are locked that are scheduled for DVP MBS? So if you don't know what those letters mean, you got it in the webinar, because if you're running a mortgage company, you got to know this stuff, along with loans held for sale, closed loans that are hedged versus in a commitment, We also, it's really, you know, this pipeline management is really based a lot on pull-through assessment. And then that, to some degree, is driven by CPR and PSA. So you need to know those letters, too. And then if you've got an MSR, you got to know CPR and PSA.
Alphabet soup here.
Yeah, no, you can't. If you don't know what these letters mean, you got to attend the webinar because you got to know it if you're running a mortgage company. And additionally, we get into the application of the Black-Scholes option pricing model and the application of correlation coefficients, R-squared. That stuff you don't necessarily need to know. But up until then, you got to know this stuff. So come to the webinar. We'll show you how it works. Go to mba.org, education, and go to the webinar series and sign up, show up, and we'll talk more about this. It's lots of interesting stuff.
That is interesting stuff. If there's anybody who can make this complicated topic fun and interesting and entertaining to listen to, it's Andy's show. You got to check out this topic. It's really, really good. I'm so looking forward to getting more of an update. I love going to webinars, and I encourage everyone to be there and learn from you. And then also, I think it's important to note that you guys do bookkeeping for mortgage companies, and it's a service you provide, and you do a great job of it. All right, friend. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Dave. Really, appreciate really it, too.
You bet. It's amazing what you can make work when you just apply some good intelligence to it. That's what Andy Schell does.
You just heard an audio clip from Lickin' On Lending. And here are the sponsors that make this show possible.
Scott Gordon here with a bit of sales science. Last time, I gave you the three essential elements your story needs. Those elements should always lead to a worthy lesson, so your story has a truth or purpose. Remember, if there's no purpose, there's no story. Today, let's examine the first essential element your story needs, a relatable hero. Sounds cliche, but a relatable hero is necessary. It's hardwired into our DNA to respond to a story's hero. And what's important here is he must be relatable. One of the worst things you can do is create a hero that is unrelatable. Think Superman. Superman's popularity has struggled in the eyes of the public. Why? Because he's too perfect. His physical powers are godlike. But that's not what makes him unrelatable. It's his moral perfection. Think about it. Who wants to hang out with that guy? Nobody. We all want to be him, but we know we can't, so he's unrelatable. Give me Batman. That guy has some issues, but don't we all? That's the difference, and it shows. In recent decades, Superman has become more human, and his popularity has risen. The hero in your story can be you, or your company, or a customer. One of the most effective strategies is to combine these heroes. For example, tell a story to a borrower where the relatable hero is a borrower that is forced with a difficult situation that he or she must overcome, and it is only by your assistance that the borrower achieves his or her ultimate goal of home ownership. This dynamic will make your customers feel that, with your assistance, they can be the hero in their own story. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Of course, our newest sponsor is back. It's actually like bringing them back. You know, they go away like kids every once in a while, but they come back because this is a great place to advertise. We're thrilled to have Finastra back as an advertiser. Finastra's Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses compliance issues while delivering enhanced borrower satisfaction and increased productivity. Greater market share. That's something we all could use a little bit more of. Most lenders are needing more market share. So check out Finastra, F-I-N-A-S-T-R-A, and Fusion Mortgage Bot product.